So, again, bomb it insides, wake up in the morning, get my stainer, make a mix, get the ink, yeah? So we used to have the, I don't know, Inferno, get the ink, the Inferno. We used to go down to Holborn to get some fibbins and some Corio and all these inks, brake fluid, nail polish remover, making this ink, curry powder, bro.
Really?
Yeah, man, why not?
Grandma's ashes, chuck them in. Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller official.com.
Street Culture TV.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
Fuck a rock and roll.
Yo, Killer Keller podcast, live and direct, central London, as central as you need to be, choose to be, want to be. You don't want to be anywhere else. Big shout out to all the sharers and carers, people that have been following us from the very beginning, early doors. Hold tight, you early adopters, you. House sponsors the mighty GK Nifty Heads of a massive 100,000 play-to-earn NFTs to give away to the streets. Just hit the link in the description or go to gkniftyheads.com and get ready for HODL Wars Summer 2024. Big shout out to everyone who's got the Kellervision app, iPhone, Android, free download for all your street culture sports and then some. we have a gentleman inside the house, North Wheezy stand-up. From the golden era, you understand, the UK London golden era of early noughties. He's been about for a bit, he's been tried for all of his crimes, and he's here to have a good chat with us. The man, the myth, he goes by the name of Titch.
Yes, my brother. What are you saying, man? You good, yeah?
Yeah, I'm good. How are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, bless, bro, bless.
Thanks for coming through, bro. Where have you travelled down from today?
Up north, Midlands, bro. East Midlands.
You're Midlands
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah, my place called... Peak District.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Peak District.
Peak District.
That's right. I ain't getting on Peakland down here, though.
The Buxton Water, you know that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, this is the clean living now, huh?
Yeah, man. Of course, 100%.
Where did that come from? How come? Why did you make the shift?
Oh, bro, like, when you've been in London for so long,
yeah,
and you experience one way of living, especially like, you know, Northwest around here, and you're living in a certain mode for all of your life, and... Mm. It's only right to give yourself justice and try something different, you know?
Yeah,
that's right. And move out of the noise into some clearer space and get some clarity.
What's the idea I was just saying about my eventual move, and it's like, whoa, like, there's a lot of history, a lot of baggage, a lot of life, a lot of things that have gone on, because life is about many lives, and you want to kind of move, but at the same time, there's certain roots that you have, the 100%. Nostalgia.
100%, man. I've got London tattooed on my wrist.
Yeah.
So everywhere I go, that's with me. Yeah. Like, you know, in my blood, it's with me.
Mm.
Everywhere I go, I'm taking London with me. Mm. People are getting that where I'm living.
Mm.
Like, how can you not? Do you know what I mean? Even the way I'm talking, the way I'm moving,
that's
London's built that. You know. So,
yeah.
So I'm proud to carry that. I'm proud to carry those memories. I'm proud to carry those experiences. I'm proud to bring my being into a new place. Why not, man?
Yeah, I love that.
Why not? With no fear. Like, when I was in London, the London mindset is like, oh, there ain't no world outside of London. When you step out there, it's like, whoa, fucking hell. There's loads going on out there, man.
What was the first thing that captured you from, you know, leaving, you know, your departure from London? What was the first thing that really caught you?
Like, London was a real struggle for me, like, later, coming towards my 20s, 25s, that kind of age there.
Mm.
There was a lot of memories here. There was a lot of trauma here. There was a lot of... You know how it is growing up and you move in certain circles, you see a lot of things. You get exposed to things that your normal human isn't supposed to be exposed to. You know what I mean? You see people... Well, I won't get into the ins and outs, but you see a lot. And then, you know, I started going... Actually, what initially was, I was going out to the country, like, not even far from here, Chiltern Hills, Buckinghamshire, just going on, like, walks, sitting down in the forest alone, spending time there. Understanding for the first time since I was a child, what feeling a bit of peace. And I thought, wow, this is powerful, you know what I mean? So, and coming back to London, it's like, oh, rah, I've not been able to sustain that peace. That's obviously different now, but, and I'm coming back, I'm like, oh, this is just a rat race, man. This is crazy. Things going on there. I need to detach to really get some clarity to reassess. And that's when I was able to. So I kept going back to these quiet places.
Mm.
And then that's it. Decided, boom. Time to make a move, man.
Rat race, see? Terminology like that, it's so identifiable for anyone that's living in cities. Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be London, but yeah, it's just this assimilating, just having to do things all the time, justifying your whole existence. £7 the moment you step outside the door for
yeah.
Summit.
Oh my god! Yeah. But you know what? The rat race doesn't stop wherever you go. And one of the things I learned from moving out from London is that actually you can't run away from yourself. At some point, you'll have to confront yourself and all that you've been through and all that you've done. You know what I mean? And accept and let go and crack on and expand, bro. You know?
Graffiti is a vessel for things you need to let go. The kind of stuff that only being on the ground you see.
Graffiti is like a yin and yang. It's like a positive and negative at the same time. Like, you know, if we didn't have graffiti growing up, and I speak for a lot of graffiti artists in my era when I'm saying this, I'm sure, it's like, if we didn't have graffiti as an outlet, as a channel, then I certainly would be doing far more madness than I was already doing anyway. Mm. So graffiti was just one of them ways to a healthy escape, if you like. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my escape. This is my drug. Mm-hmm. That was my shit right there. Do you know, literally, that was my shit right there, man. Like, if I'm going and I'm going into a train yard and I'm painting a panel and I'm battering it, bomber. I'm not an artist, but I'm a bomber. Do you know what I mean? And that's the mindset I've always had. If I'm bombing that whole train, I'm going home and I've got that feeling. It's like, ooh. No one's even got to see that. Mm-hmm. No one's even got to see that. But what I've done, for me, it felt like, like I said, it's a drug. I can't describe that feeling.
You know? Oh, this is going to be a good podcast, boy.
Do you know what I mean?
Wow. At this point, I might add, do not try this shit at home, all right? Stuff will kill you, you know? We do not condone any of it. It's a nice little story. Cowboys and Indians, cops and robbers and stuff like that. Well, let's get into it. So how old were you when you got into the game?
So listen, I was in high school, I was graphing, but right. I weren't really into graph. Like, I don't even know where it come from. I just started writing check, C-H-E-K. And I was just writing that on around school. No one else was graphing. I just come up with this. And that was instinctively.
Wow.
I was like, okay. Obviously got in a bit of trouble for that. I got Saturday inclusion, suspended and all that kind of stuff for writing. That continued, obviously.
Yeah.
And then when I started to get a bit older, I started to explore it a little bit. And, you know, I met people in the ends and they were doing this thing called graffiti. But like on a proper level, like actually fucking painting, hitting trains. I was like, shit, man, this is mad. And like, you know, got their stainers out. The stainer was the thing. It wasn't even about spray paint at first. It was about stain and ink, walking around with ink and going on the inside of trains. And at the age of 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, them kind of years there, 21, 22, just going in and just riding the lines and just bombing it and bombing it. Like,
crazy. So it was more about the stainers, more about the insides, more about the damage.
What we used to do, man, we used to wake up in the morning. It was the time me, Props, and Sucker wake up in the morning, go on the Northern Line or the Met Line or the Bakerloo Line, because they all ran through Northwest and North, you know what I mean? Just pick one line that day, Northern Line, boom, go to Edgware, jump on the train, ride it to Burnt Oak, ride it to Colindale, ride it to Hendon, bombing it, walking through the carriages. Jumping off, jumping on the one back, bombing it, jumping on the way back. Backwards and forwards.
Beautiful man. Era of Northern Lines by that.
All day.
Beautiful.
All day long. We didn't care, man. Like, I don't think many people, they weren't really hot on it back then, you know what I mean? You can just bomb it and then, whatever, there was no cameras in the Northerns back then.
And again, it wasn't so much for your personal enjoyment, man. You and your friends.
Yeah, of course. This was like, I mean, come on, like, who's going to see my shit apart from a handful of people that recognise what they're... Like, okay, titch. I mean, the person of the public are going to see that. They're not going to... Well, they're subconsciously or they will go into them, but it's like, they're not saying, oh, titch, I see you up. Don't get me wrong, there's a handful of people within London that would... Yes, titch, I see you up. Yeah, boom, carry on. But it wasn't even about that. It was about the feeling when you're doing it and the feeling actually for the ego when you're... You're riding the lines and you're seeing, oh, I need to bomb this train, I'm jumping on it. Oh, I've already bombed it. Do you know what I mean? I've already bombed it. Let me jump off or jump on the next carriage and bomb that carriage. Or let me jump on the back of the train and surf it and paint the back of the train. Or some madness.
You used to
like
do
that? Yeah, man, we should ride the back of the... Avia put me onto that.
big up Avia. Yeah.
He was the first guy that I saw doing that. I was like, right. Oh. Avia, OPEC, AS on the Bakerloos.
Crazy.
Hanging on, like, got spray paint in one hand, both like three men on the back. It's like, oh my God, like, what's going on here?
What?
Yeah, man. One guy put in the horn, beep, beep.
Stop it yeah, off.
I swear down. And then once we got to the stage, and sometimes we just jump off onto the platform, we'll just walk into the carriage, and people are like, who are these guys?
What? That's crazy.
And then we just carry on bombing the train sometimes. Like, this is how mad it was. Like, people, one or two people clocked us, fine, carry on.
Hmm.
What are they going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That was just immortal, complete, utter, no fucks given.
Yes, 100%.
Where did that mentality come from?
Oh, boy, I don't know, man. It was... I don't know, bro.
Really?
It's fire, man.
Yeah. It's youthful wisdom, right?
It's fire, man. Mm. It's fire, man. And I've still got that.
Really? But you got it in different ways.
I construct that. I use that energy in more constructive ways that are helpful to me and my people around me, you know?
Yeah.
That are going to bring them up and elevate.
So who was... we'll get into that later. Who were your influences? Who are the people that right. at the time? Because, you know, let's talk on the era. Let's talk on the time.
Yeah. Okay, so coming up, it was like, I swear down, like, and he's... You don't really write no more, but the tag that got me hooked was Scan.
Scan.
You remember?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Scan,
Phase. Yeah.
Anchor as well.
Yeah, Wicked.
All these boys in Norfolk Wills did.
Big up Meezy, by the way, because we do talk highly on Scan, yeah.
Like, I mean, fire, man. Yeah. Like, simple London-style gritty letters.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it, you know, and like, there's no, like, pretense, there's no nothing. What you see is what you get. Yeah. Boom. And I was just like, that was my inspiration, man. Mm. That was just like, when it come... It doesn't even matter about the person writing the tag. It's about the tag that I'm seeing. And it's like, this shit is hot.
Yeah.
And then there was like LGL. Then there was, who else was I seeing a lot at the time? Zonk.
Zonk, yeah, of course.
Zonk and wow. Bosch and Sub and all these kind of guys in North London and North West. And yeah, man, it was, there were some mad influences.
Yeah, glorious.
Yeah, man. It was just, yeah, it was mad.
Yeah. North West has always bred some heavy hitters, right?
To you, absolutely.
Rest in peace, Tees. We were only talking about Tees.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And again, another guy we used to bump into on the Northerns, all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, it was always love.
Mm.
It was always love even back then. You know what I mean? When you're bumping into these writers, not all the time. Don't get me twisted. Yeah. But with Tees and Odia and Welsh and West, the guys we used to bump into the Northerns, it was always love, man.
Oh, that's so sick. That's so sick. So the bug got you. And you're off to the races.
Yes.
Every night?
Every other night, man.
Really?
But if it weren't that, or something else.
Really?
Like, we're going out there as well. So,
raising.
Raising, painting. You know, you wake up in the morning, how am I going to get some money? How am I going to get some paint? How am I going to get a draw?
Mm.
Those are the three things, money, draw, and paint.
Not a bad way to live, is it? Some people still stand by that.
Yeah, I know.
Moral compass of
I know.
Supplies.
I know, but then you're kind of, you're, you know, the way you're moving, you're not paying for paint. You're not paying for paint at all. You're going, again, Avery and them guys there, they put me onto some good spots. You go out, they get a train out there, and you used to just fill up all your paint. And then even if you don't have no money, you got paint.
Mm.
So you're going to satisfy yourself because you're going to alleviate that thing that needs filling at that moment in time. You're using graph to do that.
You know? Explain that a bit more.
So it's like... The graph filled a void. It was like an escapism. It made you satisfied.
Mm.
It made me satisfied. When I was painting, when I was getting up and I was painting, I've done some stuff today.
Mm.
Cool, I'm going to sit down and chill now.
Fulfillment.
Fulfillment. Boom, that's the word.
Really?
That's the word. Yeah.
That's incredible. Okay, so talk to me through a day in the life of Titch. I mean, we're talking about a lot of heavy hitters, like, you know, Avia being one of them. You know, you also mentioned painting with Zombie and Elk and doing whole cars.
There was a whole car one time. Who was there? It was like, I was parked up in my car. There was another car. And there was another car. It was me, Zelda. I don't know if you remember Zelda.
Zelda, whoa, OG, of course. Yeah. Zelda, where are you? Come on the podcast. That's all I'm saying.
I think Band was there. Elk was there. Zombie was there. Me Rock.
Big up Band, yes.
Futa, Credit.
Nice.
There was a whole bag of people.
Yo.
It just all came together. Like, it wasn't even, I don't know what was going on. It was a whole car, end to end. Not top to bottom, but end to end.
Wow.
The whole thing was, had things on it, dubs, pieces, everything. I had no paint that day. Honestly, I had half a chrome. If you see my panel that day, it was a Titch and a Blockbuster TICH and half the dub weren't even filled in. It didn't matter though.
No. It was just fucking cold. You know, you're up. It didn't matter, man.
So again, these were, you're right, heavy hitters, man. These guys, again, were inspiring to us when you're seeing these guys doing their work. And it's like, oh, boom, man, like, this is sick. You know, I'm playing alongside a lot of people that I know, and I'm playing alongside a lot of my influences, and I'm playing a lot of the side that I've grew up, like, watching and them develop as well. And, like, you know, it's just sick.
Sick it is. Go on, then. A day in the life.
A day in the life.
Day in the life, come on.
Boom, okay.
At peak titchism.
Okay, let's do it. Okay. Whew. So, again, bombing the insides, wake up in the morning, get my stainer, make a mix, get the ink, yeah? So we used to have Inferno, get the ink, the Inferno. We used to go down to Holborn to get some fibbins and some Corio and all these inks, brake fluid, nail polish remover, making this ink, curry powder, bro.
Really?
Yeah, man, why not?
Grandma's ashes, chuck them in.
Turmeric, everything, all of it.
Wow.
Why not, man? Why not? Yeah. And then we had like 2 liters, bro, like of stain. Wow. 2 liters of stain. And then we had to go out, put that in our bags. We're out all day. I had a 50 mil, a 30 mil. I remember Props, he had a 30 mil sucker. He had his pens. And then ride the lines, Met Line. And then we used to ride it out there, do some back jumps. I don't know if I can, I'm not even going to name spots, just in case people, hot, you know what I mean? But we used to just go out to these spots, you know, Northern Line spots, and just hit these back jumps, just chill in the bushes all day as well. Like, so we hit the insides. Everywhere we were traveling to, we were battering it, jumping off the train, jumping in the bushes where the trains are laying up, staying there for a couple of hours. No one's clocking us.
Really?
Just going there. I mean,
so what did you do in a couple of hours? Like, you smoke weed?
I was smoking, bro. Like,
or just talking?
Smoking, chilling, cracking joke.
Really?
You know? Yeah, you're just like, just getting buzzed, you know what I mean?
Really?
And yeah, man. Smoking, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But just living enough to know that the trains are there and it's just...
You know the trains are going to keep coming. You paint one train, then the train's going to come. Let the one goes and it comes.
So
and then
intriguing.
You run up and then it's like, oh, maybe I can do, like, on this next one, maybe I can... I've done a dub on the last one. Maybe I can do a piece on this one.
Mm.
Or maybe I can do this or, you know, and then sometimes we'll jump on it, get off the next station where it's opening, the doors are opening on the side that we've painted so we can catch the runner.
Wow, you know? Yeah.
And then we're going through and then we're, you know, constantly blazing through the day and whatnot, riding the lines, trying to avoid people that are going to try and rob us because that was happening as well.
Really?
You know, when you're riding the lines back in those days, it was like, you're going to bump into other writers because that was the way it was back then. Not like now. Back then, it was just like, we're going to bump into this writer, we're going to bump into that writer. Mm-hmm. I remember saying some people are going to try and rob me. I got paint on me, I got ink on me, I got draw on me, you know what I mean? And that was a real thing.
Really? Yeah, that happened a lot as well?
Yeah, it happened, man. Yeah. So you're trying to avoid all that as well. And then, come nighttime, come on, what yard are we going to do?
Mm.
What depot are we going to? What train yard? You know? Who's got the bodies?
Dude, it sounds so romantic.
Even if we didn't have any bolties, fuck it, we'll just walk into the yard.
How old have you been at that time?
So, well, I'm trying to think. The first time I got a badge was 2002, so I'm 38 now, 1985, so what's that? 18, 19.
I mean, you got bagged in such a royal way. It was on TV and everything,
I know,
right?
I know.
But this is some little known facts, or maybe it is widely known facts, but it's hard to reach video, but I've seen it. It's crazy that, you know, they literally had the TV cameras all on you. Explain that scenario.
Well, it was mad. It was actually mad, thinking back at it, yeah? Like, I knew it was coming. I was going on bait. I was just going on rago. So it wasn't even a thing where I'm trying to escape getting caught. It was a thing where, when is this going to happen?
If it's when.
Mm. When is it? And so we were painting out last night, doing a trackside out of Ends and Hatch End somewhere. I remember I did a big Titch blockbuster that night, TRC blockbuster, Titch. And then I went back home, slept. 5 a.m. Must have been like 5 a.m. It was summertime as well. 6 a.m, so it was light.
Mm.
I heard a knock on the door. I said, I know what this is. No, who's coming knocking at 5 a.m?
Fuck.
So, and I heard my mum open the door. And your mum was like, oh, come in. I was like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He had a search warrant anyway. Mm. Come in. So two BTs, BTP come in into my room. I had a downstairs bedroom at the time. They come in and then I think, boom, BBC cameraman.
Yeah.
I was like, rah, what is this? And I'm in bed. I'm in bed now. I'm like, and I'm waking up and they're filming all this.
It's one thing being, you know, BTs coming in, But there's another thing when you've got BBC coming in. So usually they're like, this isn't part of the bagging.
No. You know what it was? Is this was the time when they were clamping down massively. Sucker got done just before me.
Right.
I think he got, I don't know if he went pen or what, I think he got a year or something like that. Or he flew off to Ireland to try and escape it, but I think it caught up with him.
Right.
I think he did go pen, I can't remember. But, and then they thought, let's make an example out of everyone doing this thing.
Mm.
And then they came in, cameraman, and they were like, okay, we're arresting you on suspicion of criminal damage by this many counts or whatever.
Mm.
And boom, what they found was a pack of photos like that, a stack of photos like that.
What, in your bedroom?
Yeah, my bedroom. A stack of photos, all my work.
Yeah, they'll do it.
I mean, not guilty ain't going to slide on that one, you know what I mean? So I was like, yeah, take me. Bam, you got me. Ink, photos, bit of weed.
Yeah.
Undeveloped camera.
Yeah.
Cans, everything. Well, yeah. And what they said was, I don't know if this is true because who knows, isn't it? But there was they found someone else's phone that had my name stored as Titch under the name.
No, you can't. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Could have been a snitch. Could have been anything. Who knows? But you know, I got bad either way.
Mm. So what did you get in the end?
I swear I must have been one of the first guys to get a 10-year ASBO.
Wow.
So 10-year ASBO, not to carry.
Oh, 10-year ASBO.
I think it was me and Tox were the first guys to get that. To not carry paint or spray paint or paint articles or pens or anything like that for 10 years.
What?
And then I got a few years in pen, a few months in pen. So 18 at the time, Feltham.
Were you allowed to hang out with anybody in Graf?
Yeah. Okay, they couldn't do that to me. Well, they didn't do that to me. It was just, I couldn't carry paint for, it was mad. Even when I come out of jail like 8 years later, I just got paint illegal. I carry my paint for me then because I'm not getting shit from going to pen for breaching my ASBO.
Because you will.
Yeah.
Especially 10 years.
10-year ASBO, so 2003 to 2013. I know what, we're 10 years on from that now, 11 years on from that. So I've been legally allowed to carry spray paint for the last 11 years.
That's crazy. I ain't heard anything like that before.
Mad. And I think the same thing was happening to kind of Tox. I think he had the same kind of thing happen to him as well.
Yeah.
Or we were the first ones to receive that 10-year ASBO, man.
Wow. That begs belief. I mean, obviously, you didn't touch any paint for 10 years, but that must have been impossible. That must have been like so hard.
Yeah, man. Like I couldn't even go. If I wanted to paint my bedroom, I'm getting shifted. If police stopped me with paint in the car.
Any paint. Markers?
Anything. Not like colouring pencils and that, but like, you know, markers, etching equipment, paint articles, they said anything like that. Paintbrushes, anything.
Really?
Mad.
Caps, anything?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say anything specific about caps, but I did get shifted once for breaching it.
Really?
And I was driving through around Kew. Yeah. Remember those kind of southwest and those kind of ends there? I wasn't even painting. I was painting illegal. And I got stopped in my bait car, which is just a black Renault Clio, blacked out anyway. So they're going to stop me anyway. They stopped me, found paint, boom, arrested me. I can't remember what happened. I went pen a few times for Graf, so it might have been a breach. I might have complained for that as well.
Really?
So, yeah, man, I'm glad I don't have that ASBO no more.
Yeah, fucking right. Fucking salute that. Yeah, occupational hazards are these for right, all right?
Yeah, bro, it's hurdles, mate.
Yeah. Hurdles. I hear that holiday camp ain't much to be desired for either. You know, you get in there a couple of times and, you know, you hear some mad stories about being inside.
There was people doing a couple of years, man, for Graf. Yeah. I was one of the fortunate ones. Every time I was getting shifted, I was only getting a few months.
Isn't that crazy that people were getting done like that?
It's mad.
It's crazy to think.
It's mad. It's the financial damage they set it by, isn't it? So,
yeah.
You know, they kind of gave me a blind in a way because the first time I got shifted, I had 15 charges of Graf, but they had a bag of shit on me.
Really?
So what they did was, all your extra damage is to be taken in consideration, like, as an extra, not charges. So
they didn't drag it on, they just...
I was in bail for a year. So I couldn't carry spray paint for a year anyway, and I couldn't, my bail conditions were not to enter. I could go on the train, but I couldn't enter depot.
Right.
I couldn't go on train tracks. You couldn't anyway. But if they caught me on train tracks, straight to pen. But
writing's a lifestyle. All your friends do it. It's something that you build up a tolerance for. You know what I mean? Your stamina, you're built for doing that thing, and it's a lot of fun. And then, you know, it's like moving a limb. If it, you know, you're being told you can't do it. What's the first thing you... How did you cope with that in the first initial...
Well, I'm like a rebel, man. Mm. Like, you tell me something, I do the opposite, man. Mm. You tell me I can't do something, I'm going to try to do it, man, because you can't tell me nothing. Like, so I was carrying on. They weren't going to define or tell me what I should be doing with my life, even if it is damaging their property. Do you know what I mean? Go outside, you see marketing all over the place. What's wrong with my tag? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the theory, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that calmed me down. I went to Penn and I kept doing it. Mm. Penn did not calm me down.
It didn't work.
I went to Penn again and didn't stop doing it. Went to Penn again. It was just my life circumstances, my life that I decided, you know what, maybe I should start doing something different or come out of this a little bit because, well, I had a child.
Yeah.
My child came along. I thought, I need to focus on this.
That's cool.
So it wasn't, they didn't dictate to me, like, because of the restrictions they imposed on me that, You're gonna abide by this because I didn't.
Yeah,
you know. But other life situations, I decided.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Give some stories. Give us some stories.
Jeez. So
they're here. The stories are coming.
You on graph or what?
Yeah, mate.
All right, cool.
Let's
cool.
go.
Do you know what? I got one for you, and this I could have died here, you know, because Watford Junction, me and Pops again. Back in the earlier days, walking up 8 o'clock in the evening, we were painting a train in the station. 8 o'clock
Games.
In the evening.
Wow.
Like, not in the station, but there was a siding that there was a train there.
Yeah.
So we were going up one side, crawling. And it's like, we need to go across like 10 sets of tracks.
What?
To get to this train on the side.
Yeah.
Thinking about it now, why the hell didn't we just go on that side? I don't know. But
yeah.
So anyway, we're laying down, right in the station, waiting for it to be clear, waiting for the cross, laying down now. Just chilling, waiting for it to be clear. And I must have laid my, this is mad, like, I laid my head on the rail.
Huh?
I accidentally put my head on the rail and I got jolted.
What?
Mad, innit? And luckily, I was like, and I said to Pops, did you feel that? Well, and he was just like, no, what? I was like, I've just been jolted, bro, by the third rail. And I'm thinking, and looking back at it now, I was like, I could have died right there.
Right there and then.
Right there and then I could be dead. And then, like, that shook me back and I was like, fucking hell, my body was like, it didn't electrify me, but it pushed me away. Like, boom. And I was like, on my head. Like, I must have been like, because the rail was here, innit? And I was laying down. And I was just like, I don't know what happened. I don't know if I moved my head like that or it...
Got too close.
Got too close, basically. And that was enough to tell me, don't fuck about with this, man.
No.
Don't fuck about with this. We carried on with the mission.
But still.
Don't get twisted. Carried on with the mission. We crossed the tracks and then we painted and then we went away. But, you know, there's stories... I used to hear stories back in the day of all sorts of things. Like, I don't know if you remember 320.
320,
yeah, about him. He saw one guy get an electrocuted and knocked him off with a bit of wood and all sorts, man.
Really?
Yeah.
That happened?
Yeah, man. Writers die, you know what I mean? And they have, sadly.
Yeah.
Like, from actually writing in the process of doing the graph.
See, I'm telling you people, don't be doing this wherever you are.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, well, all those yard missions and everything, piecing the inside of trains.
Piecing
the inside of trains, full of people, pulling out tins.
Really?
Coloured, full colour.
You don't get no superheroes, no one stepped up.
I mean, we rode a train once from Watford, met the fast train to Baker Street. I think it was the Amersham one, or one of those.
Mm-mm.
And it was full of students, kids, school kids. And it's like,
they would have loved that shit.
They would have loved that. We just ripped out. I was like, well, gassed up. Like, oh my God. Paint everywhere, fumes everywhere. All right, open the windows, boys.
Really? And they were just like, really?
Yeah. And then start doing this piece. I was like, you can't do that now.
No.
You can't do that now. Or could you? I don't know. Do people do that now?
Who knows? Comment below.
You know?
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm a mere conduit, you understand?
We've had some mad missions, man. And then after those days, you know, came the HTB days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hide the Burner. Mm-hmm. You know, like man like Sema, Nums.
Come on.
Pops again. Yeah. Fee and Nemis and all them. And then we used to go out and just do silly missions drunk. Drunk and fucked up. And again, we got shifted again.
That gets more dangerous, doesn't it? Like, the amount of... Because, you know, if you were the, you know, jolly bunch of pirates, drunk and just on one.
Happy-go-lucky, man.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean?
It's like less fucks you give, right?
Of course. And you're already at that point where you're not giving a fuck anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're reckless. You're reckless, man.
Dangerous is a crew like that. To be, you know, crossing on the street or anything. That's like a... Would you say?
Say that again.
You know, not to be crossed in the street, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, dangerous.
Yeah.
What, a crew like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, again, graph was a mad game because you weren't just graphing. You were hungry for. You were just hungry. You were hungry for, again, to fulfill that kind of that. You want that satisfaction. You want that fulfillment, and that could be from. You know, doing a couple of movements, rubbing something, or you know, painting something, and accumulating something, and you're on top of the world.
Yeah.
You think with the bollocks,
yeah,
just because you've done this little thing. Do you know what I mean? And then, yeah, you think you're the bollocks, and in that moment you are.
Yeah.
In that moment you are. When you're painting that train, for example, or you've broken into a train. I remember there's one in the Northern. We used to, you know, you have to kind of go through a tennis court,
mm-hmm.
And then you had to kind of you get the bolties, and you go. You're snipping it, and it's so loud, like so loud, and you've got a sensor running along the thing. I remember actually one mission in this yard, I was actually there with Tox, actually,
mm-hmm.
funny enough, talking about Tox, and this, he was up there, he was an inspiration as well, man.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just straight, boom, 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 boom.
He
gets sighted, you know, big up Tox, he gets sighted on the show all the time.
You know, he was doing his thing, and I used to love what he was doing,
mm-hmm.
and then he was coming, and then we'd go, and you know, you're waiting for the trains to make the noises, like, and this particular mission, you're waiting for the trains to make the noises.
Gang, go quick.
But it's hard, bro, like, especially when it's been double fenced, because there's so many people are cut through that same hole.
Yeah.
And then you got the siding, and then you got the, you're watching the SG come around, and you're watching the SG go. I mean, more time than none, we were successful.
Yeah.
More time than none, we painted that thing and cut.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the SG come around and, you know, we didn't succeed in that mission, but that's cool.
Don't it get your anxieties up now when you think about it? Or does it make you want to do it like more?
Jeez, man, that's a question, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a question, isn't it? Listen, I look at graph like these days, I'm walking around and it's changed, man. Like, I feel very lucky to have been doing graph in that era.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I was at the cusp of it.
Yeah.
Where it changed from being allowed to bomb trains to like, oh no, this is it's gonna get buffed.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And when I see graph nowadays and the way people are getting up is digitally, bro.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, this is, I see things evolve.
It's a different play, isn't it?
It's a different play and I see the positives of it.
Mm.
And bro, I'm one of those writers now.
Mm.
Back in the day, I used to say, fuck legal writers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm allowed to swear on this, aren't I?
Oh, it's your podcast, mate. Yeah.
So I say, fuck legal writer. Who does that? That's not graph.
Mm.
And I kind of still stand by that.
Mm.
So I'm one of those guys that I was saying, fuck legal writers. I'm not playing in no trains no more. I'm not playing no tracks. You know, I've got kids to look after.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be going pen for that.
Yeah.
If I hit a titch blam, that's on their records.
Yeah.
You know, so... but I rate the man that are still doing it.
Yeah.
I rate them,
because they're all out there, all active, and you know.
I rate them, man. They keep that shit moving, because this new wave of graph, like we were talking earlier, gentrification of what we're seeing around here, it affects the subcultures.
It does
as well. So it brings in a new wave of getting up, likes, and all this kind of stuff.
Does it bring a new breed of writer? Do you think
it does bring a new breed of writer? Because you get people coming along who've never painted a panel in their life, and they're like, and then it's, that ego is coming through the work that they're displaying on social media. That they're getting attention for.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like, okay, that's kind of cool as well, but it's not what I know as graph to be.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, we were influenced by New York.
Yeah.
Subway art.
That's right.
You know, we used to watch videos like What was that famous New York one? It's come out my
head. Star Wars.
Star Wars. We used to watch that.
Yeah.
Dirty Hands, the French one.
Oh, all volumes. Love Dirty Hands.
Dirty Hands 2. That was the one.
That was the one.
We used to watch that before going on missions.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is fueling me up. And we're going out. I remember DJ Vadin. You remember that one? I am a terrorist.
Terrorist.
Yeah. And then we're like, you know, if we're making moves, we're watching Scarface.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Let's watch this crazy fucking guy just get snorted up and do this thing, and it's going to fuel me up, and I'm going to go out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
one of the greatest films ever made. Oh, boom. Easily.
Bad man. Yeah, man.
So you just used to get juiced up on all sorts of culture, all sorts of pop trips.
We were doing, yeah man. Anything, like, we're all consumers.
Mm.
We're all consumers, and through what we're consuming, through what we're being influenced by, we were displaying that in our.
Yeah, for sure. I also think like New York still holds a strong flame to what we're talking about of an era that you came up through, Graf. Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Comment below. I don't see the illegal New York Graf writers posting half as much as the UK ones. I think there's a different penalty, a higher penalty for getting caught in New York.
You mean the illegal writers?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and this brings it back to the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you writing
for?
Exactly, that's the question. What are you writing for? And, you know, if I were to go paint a panel right now, it's like, it's for the love.
Yeah.
It's for the love. I don't care if no one sees that. Yeah. Like, man, I might take a picture and show my boys and like, oh, look at this. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, it's sick. Well, you know what I mean? But, it's for that buzz that you get when you go into a train yard or you know, put paint to the outside of steel.
What's that feeling when you do that?
Boy, it's like a adrenaline. It's like it's a drug.
What's the smell like in there? Come on, let's get into the sensory...
The smell of the
experience.
The kind of oily, steely thing, and then mixed with the Montanas, and then mixed with the Plastico, the wax oils, and you're smelling all that, and it's hitting the steel, and it's like you're inhaling them fumes and getting high as well.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? So it all infuses, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've been painting just now, not at Trellick, and I was painting, I was like... Oh, right.
Yeah, I noticed your fingers were a bit glossy there.
You've been painting a war with Task and Boff, so big up them.
Yeah, big up Task, big up. But yeah, and also, who else was there? Was Krep there?
I see Krep there as
big
well.
Big up Krep as well. CBM. You know what I mean? All the writers are, you know, Trellick's still standing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We did a lot of stuff with moving forward, like during those times, was Essa as well.
Yeah.
Big up Essa, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Absolutely. But, like, rest in peace.
He was a massive inspiration for me.
Yeah.
Like, because his style was solid.
Yeah.
He had it on lock, and he used to tattoo me. He done my TRC tattoo here.
That's incredible.
He done that. So, like, you know, I never go over that
because,
you know, he done that work. He's done a KCD on my back.
Man, that is incredible.
He done a KCD on killing crews daily, kicking cops to death. He done that on my back in my flat in Wembley. So he come around DIY, we painted after that.
That's amazing.
3 hours him tattooing my back, and it's like, boom, done, bro. Let's go.
Talented. You know what I mean? Yeah, rest in peace.
You know what I mean? Talk. So it was that kind of thing. It was there was no holes, there was no time, there was no routine. We were just fucking like the Wild West.
Yeah.
You know, just doing what we want when we wanted, man.
Yeah, so that's the youth in you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That freedom. Do you ever get that back?
It's in me, man.
Yeah.
It's in me.
It's in you.
I'm just channeling that energy
in different
ways, man. You know what I mean?
Talk to me about the punk. The punk in you.
Oh.
Because TRC is controversial initials, but it was a punk band.
Yeah.
And still is.
Hardcore punk band. So, and still is, yeah, to this day. So, Out of the Graf, which was started a year after TRC, I started creating TRC as a crew, I started a band. And then I was like, listening to that music. And there was a lot of writers that came out of that scene as well.
Mm.
Like LBU, that was a crew, London Black Op. LBU and TRC, they were doing their thing. And then I was shouting on a mic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had all this again, that London fuel of anger and whatever it is, trauma in me.
Yeah,
it's like, this is an outlet. Like the Graf, this is an outlet. The Graf and the punk and the hardcore.
Mm.
And then, you know, we were playing shows, we were playing like Camden Underworld, we were playing like all over the UK, we were playing in Europe, touring and that.
Fucking great.
It was lovely. And at the same time, what we were doing, we were going to Europe, we're painting trains as well.
Yo!
Yeah,
bringing worlds together.
Yes, 100%.
Around the world.
I remember playing in Belgium. The hotel we were staying at, there was a train station opposite. There was trains laid up there.
I love the fact that you're a touring band and yet you're praying in Graf as well.
Well, that's the mindset, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we're looking for those opportunities that we like.
Yeah.
And the band got big. It took a direction that I wasn't really feeling, so I left it. I carried on doing the thing, and big up them guys. They made it into something nice, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, I'm still connected to that music.
Mm.
That you know, all that, not just that music, but the urban music that was kind of against the grain. It was like, you know, it was expression of London. London, like, I don't care till this day. I still say London, the best music has come out of London.
100%.
Look at all the genres that have been created out of London.
Unprecedented levels.
And the Graff as well, of course. I'm going to be biased, isn't it? But you see the style. I can spot when I see Graff, it's like, boom. When I see Scan, that is London.
London, yeah. Do you know what I mean? 100%.
When I see Zonk, boom, that is London.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All of that. Like,
yeah.
You go to Europe, you see mad styles.
Yeah.
You see all, you know, all different styles.
I think gone through this a load of times, and you know, we do echo an East Coast US flavour, and that's because with all the craziness that goes on in a city, you just need to be readable.
Yeah,
it's what it is. You just got to be readable.
Yeah, big and bold, man.
Yeah,
I'm known for them blockbusters.
Yeah,
CICH, just big and bold, man. You know, like
yeah,
if someone can read my letters. Boom, there it is. Yeah. That's going to stay in your mind.
You know, you used to smash it with blocks? Memo.
Memo. Oh, yeah.
Bring up Memo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Still heavy now.
Yeah.
Big block Memo. Busters. Yeah.
Memo. Yeah, man. Okay.
Loads of giants of the time. But you were, you moved on. You moved into, would I be right saying spiritual healing?
Yeah, so
herbal remedies and such.
Yeah, so I'm a herbalist.
Yeah.
As well, or training herbalist, if you like, and you know, have a knowledge of understanding like what things in nature can, how they can help us to heal our bodies and our minds and everything that comes with it. And that's where I developed, like, you know, when I moved away from London and Graff, you know, I started to treat people that were, you know, I'd come out of this heavy kind of, you know, energy that I was holding.
Mm.
And I became lighter and I understood how I did that. And that was through, you know, like I said, going to these places that were peaceful and starting to turn inwards and understand why I do the things I do, where they're coming from.
Mm.
And then I came to accept why I did the things I did, which was really painful. And I think that's where a lot of people fall into these addictions. And Graff is one of those. It could be considered a healthy addiction, but it's still an addiction if you're doing it, you're going out every week painting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like
alcohol. Gym would be, yeah. Something like that.
Just gym, yeah. But just like, you know, alcohol and just like all these things, there's reasons why we do these things. And
cool, yeah.
I came to understand that, oh, actually, let me kind of sort my shit out. And through doing that, I was able to help others and see quite clearly with other people what is holding them back or why they're, you know, distressed or why they're constantly angry or why they're constantly, you know, unhappy or discontent. So I came to learn quite a few modalities with my hands, just touching people, and came to, like, you know, facilitate healing within them, and it will kickstart something just for them to be.
Whoa.
It's mad because, you know, I'm quite a personable person, so when someone comes to see me, I'm non-judgmental. I've been through shit. You know?
So
if one of my boys or anybody that is male, for example, comes to see me, or even female as well, it's like I'm not going to judge that guy because I've done madness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't. Whatever you got to say is cool.
Yeah.
It's that space where you can be you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to accept, and I'm not going to have an opinion on what you're telling me. I'm just going to come with that love.
Non-judgmental. You've been there. You get it.
Exactly. And what I'm going to do is just come with that love, hold that space of love.
Can you read the signs, and you know, when in first meeting someone or not meeting someone for a long time, and you see them and you can kind of make an assessment? Can you tell if someone's in pain or what they may need? Or
yeah, that's my craft, man.
Really? So that's it in a nutshell.
That's my craft.
So you can engage with someone, and within the first like blink of an eye, you know that
I can tell by what they're saying, how they're speaking. I'm not listening to the words. I am listening to words, but I'm listening to where those words are coming from.
Wow.
You know, so I'm listening to what place is this person coming from? Is it coming from fear or is it coming from love? Those are the two things. You break it down.
Wow.
And that's how I'm able to pick that up quite
really
quite easily. Over the years, I've developed that craft. You know, so when I'm sitting with...
How long have you been watching a podcast for?
Yeah.
You've been clock tails. No, I'm joking.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, dude.
My, that's my craft. And
that's,
you know,
incredible.
I've spent time over... I've learned with healers and, you know, all over the world, man. Yeah. I've been to the Amazon to study plants, study the shamanic system.
Hold on, talk to me about the Amazon. Now, this is a conversation. Talk to me about the Amazon. Was there a lot of animals and insects and lions, tigers, bears?
Yes, mate.
There really?
The jungle's alive, man.
Whoa,
the jungle is alive, man.
That's been incredible.
Yeah, the jungle's
alive. Did you see some colourful birds, you know, the ones that do those sexy dances?
Toucans and I've seen them.
That's crazy.
I mean, that journey has taken me all over the place, man. Learning from people that are working with all the modalities of healing.
So the tribes and things.
Tribes, yeah.
Dude,
tribal ways.
What was it like meeting tribes?
Well, they're semi-indigenous where I went, yeah. So it wasn't fully indigenous.
So you still have their cell phones and shit.
Everywhere does that.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Everywhere
yeah.
does. You know what I mean? But they still held on to their tradition of healing that's passed down through their generations.
Wow.
You know, which is being lost now, sadly, because of modern world, isn't
modern
it?
Modern world, yeah. Just happening.
Yeah.
How big is... I mean, Amazon's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they talk about knocking down trees. I'm like, fucking, where are you going to put the wood? There's a lot of fucking trees around there, bro. Like,
yeah, man. It's massive. I went to the Peruvian Amazon.
Yeah?
I went on a couple of occasions. I went to Pacalpa, a place called Pacalpa, and Iquitos, and worked with, you know, a lot of these plants that you hear about now, which are quite popular, like ayahuasca and things like that.
Yeah, that's it.
I worked with a lot of those plants.
What was ayahuasca like?
Well, I've worked closely with those plants for the last 10 to 15 years, man.
So what's it like?
Well, you know, that's a hard question to answer because...
Yeah, it's different for different people.
Different for different people, but it's an incredible tool for transformation if it's respected and you respect the work that goes into it. Because Pandora's box, do you want to open that box? Are you ready to open that box?
Yeah,
do you want to do that
true.
Healing? So you need the right support network and the right integration to do that work. You know?
Shit. Yeah, because we're the wrong people in the wrong company.
Exactly. You know.
So
how do we get onto this, bro?
Oh, love it. Oh, this is exactly what podcast is about. Yeah. I fucking love these stories. And it's all, you know, it's all relative, isn't it? Because what you're talking about is things that you lot could do with some healing. He's your guy. Seriously though, it's you've got to have a life to be able to get to where you are, and now you can kind of on reflection look at it in a different way. Yeah. Some people they harbour guilt and resentment. You know, I say it quite a lot, but you know, when people have experiences like, you know, getting their head electrocuted, there's some PTSD to that shit.
Yeah, of course. Life's for living, man.
Yeah.
Life's for living, and if shit is holding you back, it's okay to go through that shit, man. Where people hold on to this stuff and they don't change and live their whole life with resentment and guilt and shame and we all have an element of that. Yeah, but in a society, we're not encouraged to have these feelings, especially as men. We're not encouraged to be guilty about things. We're not encouraged to have anger. We're not encouraged to have grief. These are natural human emotions that we should be experiencing in the right space, you know? So, you know, these are valid emotions. And then what we do, we suppress them. So what that does, it suppresses us, and then it comes out in mad ways. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it comes out in mad addictions, and we do these addictive things to suppress. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, bro.
No, I'm genuine. I think one of the, you know, seriousness, the one of the core reasons why I want you to come on is for these sort of conversations.
Yeah, man.
You know, the passing of teas and that's that business. But, you know, I think to myself, man, how many people out there could do with a conversation with someone like you? Do you know what I mean?
Man. I'm happy, bro. I'm happy to converse with anybody. I swear, anybody that hits me up and says, yo, Titch, Wagwan, I always kind of had the policy that, you know, metaphorically speaking, is that my door's always open.
Mm.
So what that means is, if someone's going through shit or just needs to bounce off something and have a perspective that from someone that's probably been through something similar, hit me up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And my boys know this as well. Yeah. And people know this, do you know what I mean? I'm always there, man. That's one of those.
That's what I'm talking about, bro.
Yeah, man.
How do people get in contact with you?
So I've got a small business. My thing's called Moksha Therapies, Moksha Holistic Therapies.
How do you spell that?
So M-O-K-S-H-A underscore holistic moxie_therapies. That's the Instagram anyway.
Right, wicked.
And moxieholistictherapies.com is the website. So any of those channels, man, like Instagram, hit me a message. Through my website, my contact details are there as well. Contact form and all that kind of jazz, you know what I mean?
I love it, man. You know, success is it's a beautiful thing, and it's great to hear that you've gone on to bigger, broader pastures.
I'm content, man. I'm content. And, you know, like, those days when I was doing the graph, I weren't. Mm. I was in turmoil, and that's why I was doing the graph, because it was a way for... And thank God for it as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm not seeing that as negative. It's not negative at all, because I love the fucking work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love the craft. I love the art. And I rate people that are still doing it, you know what I mean? But... For me, it was just about moving away from that because... And now when I paint, like I've just done legally, it's actually... You know, I said at the start of this thing, I'm not an artist, I'm a bomber.
Mm.
Actually, what I'm starting to realise now, I'm starting to turn into more of an artist.
Get some in the end.
Sorry, guys. People like, what the fuck's Tim talking about, man?
See? What does Mumsy think now?
Oh, yeah, she's proud, man.
Yeah, because she wasn't too happy on that documentary, but she was like, here he is, go and get him.
She was like, do you know what? She hyped me up. She was like...
Yeah, totally.
She was like, you knew you were going to get caught. Why didn't you stop?
She said to camera as well. That was the one.
And I was telling my mum as well, I was going to my boy's house to paint a bicycle. And she was like, what? You told me you were painting a bicycle last night. I was like, no, I was out painting a blockbuster, mum, you know?
So G.
Brush your teeth. You know what I mean? Fuck it.
Painting a bicycle. Jeez. See, this is where the art thing comes into.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
my brother, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for passing.
Yeah, man.
Come on.
Yes, bro.
More archivistic moves from the Killer Kel podcast. Thank you so much, my brother. Anyone you want to shout out, by the way?
Well, all of them, man. Like,
go on.
TRC, all my boys, HTB. Like I said, the boys have been painted with Boff, Task.
We got Buff, Task.
Sema, you know, he's my boy, man. Nums, Pops, Arse. You know, there's a lot. There's a lot of women coming up as well in this grafting as well. Yeah. Bizu, Ling, you know these people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's one of the positives I'll say about this new wave of graft is that it's people that are expressing their artistic talent on a lot of these legal walls.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a positive thing. It's actually connecting. Yeah. It is connecting people. Absolutely. And maybe it's us that these old school, you know, chains ways of thinking that maybe we need to change a little bit and ease up a little bit. Who knows? But, you know, I've still got love for the train writing, you know.
There's plenty of it out there.
Yeah, man.
Could have got a podcast out like it was out of fashion, all right? Crime don't pay, but neither do they. All right? You stay lucky, people. Don't talk to anyone I wouldn't. Easy!
That was good.
You like that, yeah? It was all right, yeah?
That was hard.